if someone's struggling and they're feeling like vulnerable, it's so important to approach them with so much love, because that's what they're going to respond best to, because that's what they need.
There has been a lot of hurt. He's tried a lot to support me and our kids and give us what we need, but he is so emotionally disconnected. What would you do when, as a woman, you crave that? I love him, but I resent him for not being able to connect with me in this way, even though he does a lot. We believe that people can get there, but there's also that piece around, like, glow up tips and advice for young people trying to be successful from nothing. I'm sorry. First of all, this question is so fucking vague. It's giving you vague about your life.
How do you cope with your boyfriend being so fucking sexy, Jess?
Fucking oath, he is that sexy. Like, this is
actually very serious.
He is so sexy. I want to fuck him all the time.
Welcome to another episode of Talk Toby to Me. I'm Jess.
And I'm Meg, and we're two sisters that love to talk all things business, mindset, self-development, and everything in between.
This is normally part of our weekly phone catch-ups, but hot girls don't gatekeep, so we've decided to bring our combos to you.
Hey, boo. How's your date 24 hours been?
Really good, really long. Yesterday I shadowed Lauren in the PM, so I did my normal day of work. And then we stayed late to do another client. And yeah, so I did a late one last night, but I go to Bali tomorrow. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I'm so...
With my bestie, my other bestie, sorry.
I love watching people's travel things.
Yeah, well, you can watch mine. I've just been watching yours, so...
I had a really good day yesterday too. Very productive. I had two new... Actually, I'm going to save that for my gratitude. But I also did a big audit of my 2023 data for my fitness coaching business and set new targets for this year, which I'm really excited for.
I love that.
Yeah, because I haven't really done that so specifically before. What are you grateful for?
I'm so grateful. This is so random, but Dylan, like, is feeling a bit... Like, he chucked a sickie last night because he was feeling a bit unwell. But, like, that sounds really rude. Like, I got him at home to snuggle in. But, like, he's sick. He's trying to get better for Bali. So I'm really grateful that we are going to Bali tomorrow. I'm just so excited for 10 days with my bestie.
Yeah.
Like, just uninterrupted vacay time with my main man. Good food, good times, good memes, sun. Relaxo maxo, so keen.
Love it. We're so opposite with like our chosen holiday destinations.
I know, literally.
The thought of relaxing for 10 days literally makes me so uncomfortable.
Too funny. What are you grateful for?
I'm really grateful for my new mentorship client that signed up yesterday, and also a new fitness coaching client, and she's so fucking cute. I'm so excited.
And I just love that we're always grateful for every new client that we get.
Oh my God, yes, because I literally had a client that I was talking to yesterday who'd had heaps of people sign up for her challenge, her new challenge, but she was, I guess, not grateful for the amount of people because she had a higher target. But then I had to remind her of the fact that it was more people than like the last one, and also more money because the last one she did was with someone else. It is really just so important. Even when someone buys a $30 a week program from me, I'm like telling Nick about it.
Yeah, I love that. So good. So guys, we're going to dive straight into a big sissy advice ep because we didn't get through many questions in last week's episode. And we've got a bunch of really, really diverse and great questions. So we're going to dive straight in. So the first question. So my partner and I have a family. He has battled alcohol addiction. There has been a lot of hurt. He's tried a lot to support me and our kids and give us what we need, but he is so emotionally disconnected. What would you do when, as a woman, you crave that? I love him, but I resent him for not being able to connect with me in this way, even though he does a lot. Do you break your family up? It's so hard, but he just gets defensive if I ever bring up his need to do the emotional work that I do so that we can have that sort of connection. He has a lot of trauma from his childhood.
So this is obviously a huge question and there's a lot of moving parts.
And it's also like very out of our scope.
Yes.
But we're going to give like...
our perspective.
Yes.
The biggest thing that stands out for me first and foremost is where you've said it's hard, but he just gets defensive if I bring up his need to do the emotional work. And I would firstly encourage you to get really curious about why he's getting defensive and potentially change your approach in how you're asking him in a way that he will potentially respond better to. Because I know from experience, and we say all the time on the podcast, hurt people hurt people. And while it's like kind of slightly different, if someone's struggling and they're feeling like vulnerable, it's so important to approach them with so much love, because that's what's going to be what's going to get them to actually, that's what they're going to respond best to, because that's what they need.
Yeah, and I feel like there's a huge part around your husband, or partner, sorry, not feeling worthy of being any other way. So I think that just came up for me and Meg when you were talking. We actually hadn't made a note on that. But there's a huge part around that self-worth for him.
Yes.
To not feel like he deserves to behave any other way or be any other better person than he currently is. So I feel like, and I'm also talking from experience in different relationships, like I feel like showing someone that they're so worthy of your love and like this happiness is a huge catalyst for them wanting to do their own self-development. But it's definitely not going to be like a quick journey.
Yeah, yes, 100%. I was watching Maths last night because it's my literal...
I'm thinking, how the fuck does this relate? But I'm sure it's going to come. You're going to get there.
It's like my toxic... Wait, what's it? What's the word? Like something pleasure.
It's like how
pleasure.
You come up with a quote. Oh, right.
It's like my... Yeah. It's like my way to like fill up my... what's the word? Not fill up. Something my shadow. Like I watch it so that I can get that out like of my system in a healthy way.
You know what, you know how last week they asked like what's something you guys 100% disagree on and we weren't sure what way it, like which way it was meant. The more like sometimes we talk and I'm like, I literally could not think of anything worse than watching Math.
Have you ever watched it?
Or Free to Air in general. Yeah, I used to love it.
It's my only, it's literally my only TV that I watch. And I, like, should be on Gogglebox how much I commentate it. I literally love it. But, do you know, and I was thinking, I was going to tell you last night, I was, like, thinking about how we were asking that question of, like, what our dream, like, if we did another job, what would it be? And I said, I think I said, like, a TV presenter or something, or like a therapist. I was like, a Maths person on the panel, because it's like both. It's like therapy and TV.
Yeah, right. I thought you were gonna say like someone on Gogglebox was your dream job, because that also seems quite aligned. Too funny. Yeah, so back to being serious,
this particular guy that's on there, he was like being such a dick, and I'm not saying that your partner's being a dick, but like the way they approached it was like just getting so curious about what he was struggling with. And in the end, he opened up so much and was so vulnerable about how, like you were saying, like his whole life he's not felt worthy, he's not felt good enough, and that's why he finds it easier to not change. So yeah, when you can approach it differently and remember like the end goal, like that you guys are a team, so the end goal is to get, like, you're going to get what you want by potentially approaching it in a way that's not how you would want to approach it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. It's a hard question too, because obviously, like, you're saying you can't emotionally connect with him. It's really hard for you, like, him to connect with you, but that he does a lot of other things. So, I mean, we believe that people can get there, but there's also that piece around, like, you can't really, you can't help everyone. You also can't help people that don't want to be helped. So it's less around like helping him and more about, like Meg said, getting really curious and coming to him or to the situation with more curiosity to because just saying I need more connection is probably obviously not going to work in this scenario. It's like he doesn't feel worthy of doing anything differently, better than he is now.
Yeah.
So, but then on the flip side, it's like there is obviously going to come a point, because obviously we don't know how long they've been together, how long this has been going on for, if she's tried this before. And like there is a point in time where you need to decide, like, is this what you want for the rest of your life? And is this the example you want to be setting for your children? Was that, you know, how we were going to say about our parents? Was that this question?
I think so.
Yeah. So Meg and I were reflecting when we were like planning this episode on our own parents, because our parents were divorced when we were really young. And our dad has been with our stepmom for like 25 plus years. And our mother and father were absolutely not ever meant to be together. And if they'd stayed together, obviously our mum has passed away, but they were divorced well and truly before that. And if our parents had stayed together, like, yes, we have trauma from other things, but we would have a lot more trauma if our parents had stayed together and set that terrible example of a healthy relationship. Whereas,
and for context, now, they were like, what's the word? Not, I don't want to say abusive to each other, but like,
it was an unhealthy relationship.
Yeah.
I guess.
I'm just trying, because I feel like it's very different to this chick who's saying, like, this doesn't sound like they're screaming at each other, which is what.
For my point, it's like we now have this really, really beautiful example of a healthy relationship that we've seen for the past 25 years between our dad and stepmom, which obviously isn't always perfect. And they've gone through the ups and downs like any relationship. But I think with the context we've been given, we would suggest obviously getting curious first. And then there is obviously a line where you would want to go, okay. What I'm trying to say is like a lot of people stay in the wrong marriage or wrong relationship because they think it's what's best for their children.
Yeah.
But if you're not setting that really like great example of a healthy relationship for your children, or how to overcome hardship to become a healthy relationship, then that's not necessarily the best thing for your children, in my opinion. Obviously, I'm not qualified to be giving this advice.
But no, I do feel like I have a very healthy relationship now, because like it would be a very different story, I think, if dad and mum stayed together. Whereas because he really like did set such a good example. Number two, I'm turning 30, single always, never the chosen one. Basically living paycheck to paycheck and feel as if I'll never be the lucky one to have the things I desire, like love, a family, financial security, etc. Like it just feels like it will never happen for me.
So totally valid to feel that way, but huge victim mindset.
Yeah.
Like you, this is screaming victim. And you absolutely, whilst you believe you can't have those things, you absolutely will not find those things, because that's just the way energetics work. Like, if you don't believe you deserve them, they will not come to you.
Yeah.
So it's a huge piece around self-worth.
Yeah.
Like, get to the point where you fucking love yourself, and like, go back to all of our other apps on this. You are worthy of all those things, but if you don't believe you are, they're not going to come to you, because you're going to be showing up as someone who doesn't deserve those things.
100%.
So, yeah, like you really need to spend some time alone on purpose, not because you're lonely. Spend some time alone to really rebuild your self-worth.
Yeah, you want to become, because it says never the chosen one, you want to become the person that you would choose. If you don't choose you, no one else is going to choose you.
And also, yeah, exactly. You need to choose yourself.
Mm. Just go fucking deep into, yeah, your self-development and become the person that you, where you will attract.
Yeah, and also something sticking out for me in the question is where they've said, I feel as if I'll never be the lucky one. Like, people that have those things are not lucky.
Bro, I fully missed that part of the question. And yeah, now like, I'm like,
let's go.
Yeah.
Like that, the people that have those things, I'm actually a bit triggered now. No. Like not triggered, but I'm fired up.
Yeah.
So the people that have those things are not fucking lucky.
Yeah.
They are putting in the work day in and day out to be worthy, to feel worthy in themselves, to get clear on what they want, to then become that person that will attract those things and show up every single day as that person.
We were literally having a conversation about this the other day about something else, and saying that it was the people that like have all these constant daily struggles in their life. I don't know how to say, like, you need to choose better, because every single decision is like creating your life. So if
100%
you're in this victim state, you need to take responsibility for it.
Yeah, take radical responsibility for where you are at, because I'm going to be really brutal. I'm not lucky that I have this beautiful relationship with Dylan. I am fucking grateful that I did what it took to do the work on myself to find someone, to find a relationship like this. I'm not lucky that I have this stunning salon and thriving business. I've fucking worked my ass off day in, day out for 6+ years. And even before I had this business, like, I have always done the things that I needed to do to be the best in any job I've had, to be the best of school, like, to do all of the things, like, to be disciplined with, like, how I nourish my body, like, the things I do in my day, like, the time I get up in the morning. Like, I'm not lucky. I have made choices day in, day out for years and years to have all the things I have in my life. And I still have fucking struggles every single day, but it's just part of life. And I don't go, oh my God, I'm such a victim because of this thing happened. I'm like, that's just today's hurdle. Like, we're not fucking lucky. The people that have these things aren't lucky. We have made choices in life to get here.
And it is exactly that, what you just said about when these challenges come up. It's the difference between going, woe is me, and what is within my control to make a change here. And it's doing that every fucking day.
And if there's nothing in your control, then what's the point of complaining about it, because you can't do anything about it?
Yeah.
But most of the time, there is something in your control.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you think it's constantly never in your control, you're probably ignorant to the fact that it's in your control.
Yeah. If you're always blaming external, like, other people, external scenarios, whatever, then it's very likely that you are
the problem.
The problems.
Love you, though.
Yeah, like, hit us in the DMs. We've got you, sis. Glow up tips and advice for young people trying to be successful from nothing. I'm sorry. First of all, this question is so fucking vague. It's giving you vague about your life.
Yeah. Like, what is success to you? Because yeah, it's so the question's so blasé. Like, people trying to be successful from nothing, you need to know where you are and specifically where you want to get to.
And also, like, glow up. A glow up is not like,
yes,
glow up is not success. Yeah. Like, they're,
it's giving kind of, not serious about the change.
Yeah, it's giving a not. Yeah. And also, it's like, from this question, it's like so blatantly obvious that you are not remotely clear on what you want in your life and what success looks like for you. Like, it's not just a glow up.
Yeah.
But they're too, like, the glow up to me is when I get my hair and nails and spray tan. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Get first, like, seriously, get really clear, like Meg said, on what success looks like for you, what you want out of your life, what your values are, what your purpose is, what really motivates you, satisfies you, makes you feel fulfilled, and then go from there.
Number 4. What are your opinions on shared bank accounts with partners? When do you set them up? Do you have a bills and holiday? Do you set financial goals as a couple and adhere to them? Do you both have them now, or have you previously had them? If not, why? So neither of us have joint bank accounts.
Yeah, I think, like, there's no meaning behind us not having shared bank accounts. It's just that 3 out of the 4 of us are business owners. So, like, for our business, banking and all of the things, it's just literally easier to keep them separate and split everything. So if Dylan takes me out to dinner, he will pay, but like, for like day-to-day expenses, we generally split everything or take turns. Like, it's really, really easy. when we have children, we would, I imagine, absolutely have a discussion around a shared account, like a joint account for like day-to-day shared expenses.
Just purely for like ease.
I really think like it's so important to keep your money, like to keep some of your money, like have your own bank accounts as well.
Mm, yeah.
Because like you never know what's going to happen. And I just feel like you don't need to put all your eggs into one account. Like that just seems a bit unnecessary to me. So yeah, I feel like in the future, we will absolutely have a shared like household account for like expenses for children, mortgage, whatever we're working towards. But like, we have no reason to really have one now. We just split things. Even when, like, we do our groceries together. Like, we literally do everything together. It's a bit sickening. Love it so much. But, like, we do our groceries together and we either split it or we just take turns. And, yeah, it's super easy.
Yeah. And I feel like it's not even... Actually, 2 points. It's not even about, like, you keeping your money in case something happens. It's just purely both of us just literally find it easy. It's never been an issue to have separate accounts. And the other point is I think it's really important to remember that every relationship is unique and just do what you want to do. If you want to do something, you don't have to quiz every other couple to make sure it's the right thing. If it feels good for you, do it. Because I remember like Nick and I... we do our grocery shopping together, but we check out separately because A, he fucking eats so much, but B, it's just how we've always done it. It's just easy. It's just like, they're just what works for us. Obviously we like kind of take turns with the household items, but I remember thinking a few times, oh, like, is it weird that we do this? And like, even the other day I said to Shioni and Jane, I was like, do you guys do? And they do the exact same thing as us. And I was like, oh, it's like, I'm obviously very secure in the things I do now, so I like don't give a fuck if someone thinks it's weird. But I think a lot of people would do something with their money because they feel like they have to. So it's like, if it works for you, then do it. If it feels good for you, then do it. Don't worry about what other people are doing.
And yeah, like own what you choose to do. Don't be like, oh yeah, like, is that weird? And also on that note, like, so Dylan eats 5 times what I eat, but I eat organic, so he's like, it works out. So it works out, so we just split it or we take turns. It's also not like a secretive thing in terms of like the fact that we have separate money. Like, we both know what each other earns.
It's not like
I think you should keep separate accounts, like have your own money for like any secretive reason. It's just like, have your own fucking money because you're separate people, but you're also a couple, so you could have a shared bank account if you need one. But if you don't need one,
like,
makes it, just do what works for you.
And I love that you said that, because I was also going to say, as far as the secretive thing goes, because part of the question is, do you set financial goals as a couple and adhere to them? 100% you should set financial goals with your partner. And it is a huge thing that a lot of couples are secretive with their money. And it's going to cause you a lot of issues in the long run if you're not open about those things. And I think, yeah, it's just really important to be having those conversations regularly. Like, Nick and I set financial goals for our future. And we also discuss, like, we, like you said, Jess, we both know what each other earns and kind of where our money's going and stuff like that. And it's, yeah, I think a lot of people are ashamed or embarrassed or whatever it is, whatever the emotion is, about their own financial situation. But you guys are a team. And
I was just going to say that. I love that.
Yeah, you're going to, it's going to be worse in the long run the more you kind of put it off. It's like anything, really.
Yeah.
It's going to snowball. And,
yeah. And on the like setting financial goals, like, absolutely so important, whether you're a business owner or not. Obviously, there's things that you want to be working towards. So for us, like, that certain travel, property, like engagement, wedding, whatever, children, all of those things that are pretty common. And so we absolutely have very open and frequent conversations about, like, also just like getting on the same page with like your current lifestyle to support those goals.
Oh my god, I literally, we're fucking have the same, we're Siamese brain twins. But I was gonna say, because it also comes back to your values personally and communicating those with your partner, because there's certain goals that Nick and I have and then values in our life, like long-term goals versus things we want to do now for fun or whatever it is. And if we weren't having those conversations, it would cause an issue in the relationship because, for example, I want to travel a lot, but I also am well aware of Nick's long-term financial goals and like any big goals that require a lot of money. So it's like where we need to compromise on. So
just, I love this shit.
Yeah. I just like love
even
us.
Dylan, I know.
We're the
four even
best
Dylan, like,
friends that anyone
can ever. So like we've had so many combos around this lately actually, because we've obviously got Bali tomorrow, which isn't a huge expense, but it's still like for the last 2 months Dylan's been dieting, and it's like we chose as a couple to like say no to any commitments that we didn't have to go to, like weddings, birthdays, things like that, and just eat in because it supports his fitness, like health and fitness goals. And then when we get back, we've already had a conversation about when we get back what like our plan is with the lifestyle. So I think like that's those conversations that all support the same, like all of your goals holistically, are really important.
Yeah, and also you can support each other so much more in your goals when you're being open about those things. Yeah, let's all support each other.
Stop high-vibing. I feel like we were a bit brutal with some of the answers.
Next minute, like, we're like, actually, me and Jess have a joint account.
Yeah, we will soon.
Oh, yeah, true, for the pod.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Six-figure pod.
Also, I have a suggestion for us, a proposal.
Is it
off-air?
Oh, off-air.
We'll hit you guys with it in the future.
I want to know now. Pod only fans.
We'll definitely need a joint account for that.
Talk Toby to me. Hinge.
After bath.
Yeah. Uncut. It's giving big brother.
Yeah, that's a bad. And
all right. Sorry, guys. 5. How do you cope with your boyfriend being so fucking sexy, Jess?
Fucking oath. He is that sexy. Like, this is actually a serious question someone sent in.
very serious.
Yeah, I wonder if someone... like, if this is one of his mates. But, like, seriously, he's... sorry, I don't have the time. Maybe he sent it in.
Yeah.
No, like, dead set, he is so sexy. I want to fuck him all the time.
We love that.
So I do.
So yeah. I do.
That's how I cope.
Please refer back to what you were talking about, your nails.
I tell him all the time, too.
Yeah, because
we love some words of affirmation. Yeah, fully. I'm like, pull your clothes on.
Or I'm going to pounce.
She's going to go down. Yeah. Put your clothes on right now.
I'm going to climb that like a tree. What's that off,
literally. I don't know if that's fucking accurate.
All right. Next cue. Jess, how do you and your partner have such an enjoyable life with his work and your business life? It's incredible.
So, great question. Trying to work out what the context is around like our relationship specifically, but I suppose we do have such a great life. So same with Meg and Nick, we do have such a great life together, lots of quality time, lots of connection. And then obviously I'm a business owner and he works underground for like 10 hours of the day. I suppose what I would say is, what was I going to say?
A huge question.
Yeah.
Like, it literally encompasses every part of your life. I mean, every 48 episodes we've recorded before this one is like all the things as to why your life looks like so good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because it is. And that's because of, so with us specifically, I feel like we actually thoroughly enjoy each other's company. We share a lot of the same values. We actively choose to make each other happy. We actively choose to do things together to constantly remain connected. Obviously, it's a new relationship, so like I'm not unaware of the fact that we're in that beginning stage, but like we honestly choose each other as well as ourselves, obviously, like every single day. And we value being together and connecting. We also both have really strong boundaries. So like when I'm at work, Like, when I'm with him, I'm actually usually on D&D when I'm with Dylan. And we communicate so clearly about, like, what we want, and we always want to do those things together. So just found my person, guys.
I literally even love what you said just then about, like, it's obviously new, because I think there's also something to be said for the fact that you can fucking, and I know you guys will, because we're the same person, like, you can still be so fucking excited to see your partner, like, every single day. Like, that doesn't have to die off. Like, Nick and I will, he'll come home from work, obviously every day, multiple times a day, and I'll jump off out of my office chair and do that little hoppy thing that we do with excitement. Yeah, and, like, he does the exact same thing. Like, if I'm in the middle of something, he will, like, run into my office and be so excited and come give me a kiss. Like, I just think it's...
And that's a choice. Like, you don't have to do that. You could be like, oh, I can't be bothered. But, like, that's what I mean by... And I have to say, like, I almost felt like I had to preface by saying, I know it's a new relationship, but, like, I genuinely believe, like, I can tell you right now, I've never had this before in my life. And I genuinely believe that this won't change for us. Obviously, we'll deal with hurdles and, like, disagreements and whatever. But, like, I just know the people we are, like, we truly value, like, making those choices to choose each other and our own happiness, like, every single day. Like, I know that this won't die for us, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because of those things. Like, I don't have to, like, when he was on afternoon shift and he'd get home in the middle of the night, I don't have to put his milk for his protein shaker in the fridge in the shaker ready for him to do when he gets home.
Yeah.
I could be like, I can't be bothered.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't have to weigh out his stuff to help him with his macros when I'm cooking. Like, I don't have to do... He doesn't have to do hold my hand when we're crossing the road or...
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't have to do all these things, but we choose to because we value the other person and value our relationship and each other.
And what you said before, like, at the start of this too, about, like, you really enjoy each other's company. Like, when your relationship... When you're, like, best friends, which we say all the time... You want to do those things.
Yeah, I want to, 100%.
So I think, like, even, I know this is a question for you, but I think even the part about the work and business life, it's actually almost irrelevant because you'll make anything work if you want to.
Yeah, and it's all choices. Like, I could be like...
Yeah, because anyway, you could be like, you get the point. Like, I work such a long day or, like... And obviously there's going to be time, like, seasons in your life where... You're going to have to, one of you is going to have to be pulling the slack for the other and, like...
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to take away from the enjoyment in your life.
Yeah, so all the things we always talk about, shared values, communication, choices, all of the things. How to know when you're ready to level up in biz and take the leap to expand. I've been in limbo for 2 years and I'm at the point now where I either do something different completely or go out on a limb and open my own clinic with staff, etc. I feel I've lost my drive and passion. I've been in biz for 4 years this year and I'm at a crossroad. What were the steps you took and how did you know you were ready? It just seems so scary, but it has always been my dream to have my own little clinic. I have subleased rooms for 3 years and I'm a solo gal in biz. So I'm assuming they're, like, in my industry, in beauty. They're, like, doing what I used to do, which is rent rooms out to work out of. And then obviously I opened my own salon. So I would... sit down, first of all, and get really clear on what your values are and what your purpose is and what you want your life to look like, to then reassess your goals and to actually work out if it's something you still want to do, because you have mentioned that it's always been your dream to have your own clinic, but then that you've lost your drive and passion. So I think getting really clear on what you really want and not what you think you should do or not what you think is the just automatic next step for you, but get really clear on, like, if you just want a clinic because you think that's the next step in growth or, like, scaling, then that's different to you, like, really feeling like having your own clinic is an aligned decision. So I think clarifying where you're passionate, like, what you're passionate about and where your kind of purpose lies, so you can just reevaluate what you want. Not what you think you want or what other people think you should do, but what you really want to work out what's the right next step for you.
Yeah, because even in the question where it says do something completely different, like that's a whole... other things you want to do? Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because if it's like you really feel in your gut that having your own clinic is like so aligned and like your dream and all of the things, and you're just worried, like you just have the fear of judgment or the fear of failure like holding you back, then fucking dive right in, sis, and stop being a little bitch. But if you are like, I don't actually know if this feels right for me anymore, then that's a different story. And that's where you need to sit with yourself and go inward and do all the things I just said. Because, for example, there are things I do in business that I try and I go, this actually isn't feeling good for me anymore. Like, it's not something I want to keep doing, and I stop doing it. Like, working out of the Gold Coast, for example, like, it served a purpose for a time there, and then I've met my partner and I've been doing it for a few months and I'm kind of like, it actually isn't feeling aligned for me anymore. And what I want to do in my business that doesn't serve those goals. So I would probably stop doing that in the near future. So, for example, you can, I'd get really clear on what is actually feeling really good for you and fuck off those fears and dive straight into that. Because you're also, on the first part of the question, you're never ready to level up in biz. Like, you're never going to feel ready because you're always going to have those limiting beliefs come up. And we've talked about it in a recent ep, I believe, where we said, no matter what level you get to in biz, that new limiting beliefs will come up. So you're kind of going to feel like you're never ready, but it will feel right in your gut and it will feel aligned. So it's like, don't think about like, oh, do I feel ready? Because those limiting beliefs are going to come up around whether you are or not. But it's like, what feels right for you?
And also, if it's in your awareness, there's a piece of you that knows that you're actually capable to do it. If you didn't deep down believe that you could achieve something, it wouldn't even be in your awareness. Because there's limiting beliefs, but then there's also beliefs that there's also things that are not even limiting beliefs yet, because you don't even, they're not even in your awareness. You don't even believe that they're even possible for you. So if you do all the things that Jess was saying, revisit your vision, purpose, all the things, and you do decide you want the clinic, then like you said, dive into it, because it's an option for you, that's evidence enough that you're capable of doing it.
Yeah, and the desire's been put on your heart for a reason. And also, like we've said before, if those fears are coming up, it's because it's new for you, not because you're incapable. I also want to touch on, like you said, you've been in limbo for 2 years now. So what's it going to take? First of all, ask, I'd love to know what that, like why you've been in limbo, like what has been keeping you there. So I'd really dig into that. And also, like that time, that 2 years has just passed. Like, do you want to wait another 2 years in that same place that you're in without taking action just because you were scared? Or because you didn't spend a couple of hours sitting with yourself to uncover what you really want. And then another thing I wanted to touch on was you asked, like, what were the steps you took and how did you know you were ready? So again, it's scary. You may not ever feel ready, but I knew that I wanted to create this like really world-class training facility for my students. And I knew that this was the right step for me. Again, if it doesn't work out, you can, like, you're not a tree, you can change. You can change your mind. But what were the steps you took? Yeah, so I strongly suggest if you're making any like big moves in your business that you have a coach or a mentor to guide you through this, that's like able to give you advice because they've already done it before, and also connect you with the people you need, like legal, HR, all of those things for the support that you're going to need. But I think that I had a coach. The actual steps I took were went and found a place that felt right for me. And again, I waited till I found the right place because there were lots of places available that didn't seem aligned for me for what I wanted. I then negotiated the lease, and then I navigated the build, the fit out, and, you know, you've kind of got to have a budget and a plan. And I really don't think you should be making those kind of decisions without any kind of support. So I absolutely think that once you've made the decision, if it is right for you, that you get the people in place that you need to help guide you through like a big decision like that or a big move. Breast implants, looking at getting them. In the process of researching, however, would like some general advice. Obviously not a doctor. You can call me Dr. Toby if that's your thing because it suits me. So I have breast implants. I've had 3 breast augmentations because I had them first done when I was 19, and then I've had a revision when they were about 12 years old, and then I had to get my revision revised. Personally, if I had my time over, I actually wouldn't get them because I'm very big on like not putting toxins in my body and things like that now. And there are obviously a foreign object inside you. However, I do love them, don't get me wrong. And I have loved them for many, many years. So I don't necessarily regret getting them at all, but I wouldn't do it if I had my time over. So if it's like, don't get me wrong, when I got them, I would have been extremely insecure. So I think ask yourself what it is that you're wanting them for. And if you do want them, obviously do your research. I would be going for multiple consultations, whether they cost you. I would like not be bothered by paying for a consultation because a good surgeon will charge you for that. And then obviously I believe it. Sometimes they come off the cost of the surgery. But I also would say make sure you go to a plastic surgeon, not a cosmetic surgeon or whatever they're called. Like go to a very highly regarded cosmetic surgeon. And I'd also strongly recommend going off a recommendation because I think nothing's more valuable than someone referring you that's had a really great experience. And you can always get them out later if you decide you don't like them. Obviously hassle, expensive, more surgery, all of the things. But yeah, I'm also really conscious of the fact that like going under general anesthetic is actually very dangerous. I've obviously been under it many times, but I think I wasn't really aware of all those things when I was younger. So that's my 2 cents.
Oh, just back on what you said about going to multiple consultations, I feel like that's really key because there's so many people that will be like, I don't know if it's people pleasing or what it is, but they'll feel like they have to, like they've wasted the other person's time if they don't go ahead with it. But like, that's the whole purpose of a consult. Yeah. We're like that. But I know a lot of people that are like, feel bad. So don't feel bad because it's the whole purpose of a consult. And also if you don't go with them, that's something that they need to like work on. So like fucking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very high risk going under general anesthetic. So make sure you're very comfortable with the decision and very comfortable with your surgeon that you've chosen.
Yeah. Last question.
Oh, I've got one more thing on that is with the referral thing. I would be asking around about like the after support, because if something goes wrong, I know of surgeons that will wipe their hands clean of it and go, I don't give a fuck. And then there's surgeons that will do whatever it takes to resolve the issue. So I think that kind of support's really important as well.
Love that. I thought you were going to say, as part of the referral thing, use my code Jess10 in Thailand. Kidding.
Yes. Oh, also, guys, I had my first breast augmentation in Thailand. Best experience ever. Like, amazing. I got them done at Bangkok International Hospital in Phuket. Don't ask me why it's called that when it's in Phuket. The doctor, the surgeons were all, like, American trained, spoke really great English, really, really good surgeons. Obviously, it was a fraction of the cost. However, my revisions I had done in Australia because I'm significantly in a very significantly different financial position as I was then. But I still don't fault that surgery over there. The only downsides were that I got like Bali belly or Thailand belly, so I was like violently ill with like fresh surgery, which was quite painful. Yeah, like imagine having your breasts like really tight and you're skewing and you're like, it feels like they were like tearing off my chest, and so that was painful. But and then obviously if something goes wrong, it's a little bit more complicated to get back over there and things like that. But I had a great experience, and then I had my more recent surgeries with Dr. Wessels from One Cosmetic, so
He's really lovely as well.
Last question. Love you guys. Oh, thanks. But I need your help. My boyfriend has been on a lads trip, and while he was on that lads trip, they went to the strip clubs. I have no issue.
Yeah!
Let's go. I have no issues if he goes and he knows that, but why can't he tell me? I've been suspicious ever since and have this gut feeling I really don't know what to do. Knowing he can't be open about it makes me think he's hiding something. Same.
So the fact that, the fact that she said, because I think Meg and I are the same. We couldn't care less if our partners went to the strippers.
Yeah, I'm like, go give him a tip. We are so okay with that because we know we're so fucking secure in ourselves and what we bring to the table in the relationship that we know that they are going to want to come home to us and not fucking, and they also respect us because of all of those things.
And if that was to happen, we'd be like,
yes, not, don't have a fear of being like, see ya.
Yeah, but the whole, like, I'm trying to work out, like, how she knows.
I know.
But, like, she's obviously not communicated it with him. So I feel like you need to possibly bring it up. Well, not possibly. You need to bring it up and say, hey, like, when you're regulated, say, like, hey, there's something I want to talk to you about. I know you went to the strippers at the thing, and I'm just curious why you, like, why you didn't communicate that with me, because you know that that doesn't bother me. But the fact that you haven't been open about it is, like, making me feel uneasy. So it's, like, bringing it up in a non-accusatory way, but, like, getting curious around why they haven't told you. Because that is sus if he's, like, hiding it. But if it just hasn't come up in conversation,
yeah,
I don't know. Like,
and I feel like it's there's a few different ways this could go, because
yeah,
the fact that you say I have no issue if he goes, like, does he know that? Because he might be like, if you've never spoken about this before, he might be like, oh my god, she's gonna flip her nut.
Yeah,
but then there's other piece.
So he won't say it.
Yeah, but yeah. Then the other piece is like, if Nick went, he would almost, like, want to tell me so that he's not hiding it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how to explain.
But, yeah, I think a lot of guys would feel like they don't want to say it because they just want to not go there.
Yeah, but if
you... Like, they want to say, keep the peace. But also, my other thing is, like, are you actually okay with it? Because he's saying you're okay with it, but he knows that you're actually not okay with it and that you're going to click it.
Yeah.
Or is it, like, have you not communicated it so he doesn't know that this is, like, something that you're stewing on? Or is it actually fucking sus that he hasn't communicated it to you? Because, like, why the fuck has he not told you?
Yeah.
So, like, there's so many, there's, like, three different scenarios that it could be.
I feel like she probably knows because of someone else that's gone on the trip
with
him.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, also, people are so dumb, as if you're not going to find out.
But also, it could literally be as simple as they didn't even talk about what went on at the lads trip because, like, fucking, I don't know. That's just what you just don't. And then he's just not brought it up. Like, is it sus? Like, is you've been probing and asking questions and he's avoiding telling you? Or is it just you haven't had the convo about it?
Yeah. And also, like, going, giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Yes.
And just have a conversation around it when you're regulated.
Obviously.
And when he's regulated as well.
Yeah, and obviously we don't know your relationship from a bar of soap. Yeah, like, so, like,
yeah.
If you think it's sus, that probably says a lot as well.
Yeah, we trust you. We trust your gut.
Yeah, because I wouldn't think it was sus if Nick didn't tell me he was going to the strip club. I would think.
But you'd be like, oh, why didn't he tell me? And he'd be like, oh, this.
Well, I wouldn't. Yeah, but I was just thinking because I wouldn't think that because I'd be like, he just didn't tell me because we just weren't talking about it. Like, we just didn't recap the fucking lads trip.
Yeah.
But, like, it would be different if we had a different relationship and history and he was doing sus shit. Then, of course, I'm going to be.
Yeah. Like, Dylan and I literally give each other a play-by-play of, like, our entire
fucking life. Yeah, like, we can't talk about it for fun.
And also, like, different past, so I feel like I would know if he was going to do that.
Yeah.
And if he didn't tell me, that would be strange.
Yes, 100%.
So yeah, give us an update, please, sis.
Yeah, let us know.
Let's curious. Let's chat about it. Well, we trust you found value in this episode. We'd love it if you could share it with someone who you think would benefit from it, because we want to help as many people as possible and it really helps us grow the pod.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at TalkToverToMePod. And you can find the link in our bio for the Q&A, for the anonymous Q&A form that we have links where you can put your big sissy advice cues in.
Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.